And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
That's a magic number. Morrell going to third. He will slide. He's got a triple.
Rose trying to get open. Fires away. It's over. The Bulls win. That's a buzzer.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And it is time for the trifecta. These are the top three stories that have been circulating in my brain, and it's been a long day today, so these things have definitely been living rent-free there. Do not forget, you are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. All right. Don't forget also that we got Hub Arcus coming up at 6:25. Excuse me. So that way we can talk a little bit of Bears football as well. And speaking of Bears football, they found their way into my trifecta. Let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Number three.
So number three inside the trifecta is the fact that Alan Williams will not be traveling with the team to Tampa Bay. Now, I was talking about this earlier with a couple of my friends. You know, Eberflus is going to be calling the plays for the defense. And they were asking me, like, how do you feel about that? I am extremely excited. Like, extremely excited. Like, beyond measure excited. Why? Because Coach Eberflus is a defensive coach. Like, we know this. He came from Indianapolis, called the plays over there. Their defense was actually really good. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just excited to see someone be zoned in and do what they do exceptionally well. Right? Like, I love to edit. I love to edit. It's one of my favorite things to do. I am super, like, super anal about certain things. And I never get a chance to do it anymore, right? Because I got Tyler Farrengall producing today. Whenever I need a clip, he's a real producer that does that kind of stuff. But if somebody were to say, hey, Gabe, you're going to be editing this stuff up, like, somebody should come watch me because I'm a G with that stuff, right? But the thing is, imagine if I was doing that, editing the things. Like, that's how excited I am for Eberflus, because I know that's what he loves to do. And he's going to get a chance to do it on Sunday versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he talked about, because some people are concerned, right? How are you going to, you know, be the head coach and the defensive coordinator? Well, Eberflus talked about that today.
Really, it's more about the operation of, you know, the game management side of it, which, you know, when the offense is up, it'll be normal business, you know, and then with throwing challenge flags and being right there with Luke and the offense. And then when the defense ups, you know, I'll be, you know, making the calls. And then I'll, you know, when we're off the field, to make the corrections, you know, pretty quick. You know, the guys on the sideline are going to help me do that with the players. And then really from there, it's just about, hey, setting up the next series, you know, what's coming the next series for those guys, and we can communicate that. And then from there, it's just normal.
Okay, I was with him, and the statement made me feel good. But then that was up until he started mentioning the adjustments for the defense when they get off the field. You need to be present in the game as it's happening in real time, but you also need to be present with your defense, as he mentioned, to make corrections. But he said other coaches, other players are going to be responsible for that kind of stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the Bears defense on Sunday and how they respond to that. The defensive players themselves, Eberflus talked about how they responded to the Alan Williams news.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, I think they're handling it well. You know, the people of their age, man, they're really resilient. And, you know, and all that. And I think they're handling it very well. The practice is really good. Spirited practices, high energy. And, yeah, it's been good.
I'm sure they're excited. If I were a player, I mean, I'm excited as a fan that Matt Eberflus is going to be calling the defensive plays. I can only imagine if I were a player, understanding his resume and knowing you are getting direct from the hand of your guy, you know, Eberflus, I would say directly from the hand of God in the moment he is. It's going to be interesting. Again, I'm extremely excited. There's so many different things I'm going to be watching in the game on Sunday. And we're going to talk about that a lot. But most certainly, you're going to be seeing, just number one, is he going to be blitzing more? Like, I can see him getting pissed and being like, nah, we're blitzing too. Todd Bowles, you're blitzing? I'm blitzing too. You know, just something like that. Rattle Baker Mayfield. Or just feel just, I don't know. I am excited. I hope that you guys are too.
Number two.
So if you ask most people that are like around my age or, yeah, around my age, and you ask them, like, who's your favorite running back of all time? More than likely in the top three, they're going to be mentioning Barry Sanders. And there was a really cool article that came out today talking about Barry Sanders is going to tell the story about his retirement in a new documentary. That's going to be on Amazon Prime. And the reason why this stuck in my head, because I remember being a young kid, and I remember my dad loving Barry Sanders because he met him one time in Vegas at a blackjack table. And so I always, obviously, you know, because he was amazing. But my dad was always sad that Barry Sanders retired. And then, like, we never, you know, I was young, so I really didn't get the understanding. I couldn't, but I remember just, you know, this myth hovering around Barry Sanders' retirement. So it's going to be cool to see this. So if you have Amazon Prime, or, you know, you borrow your mom's password or something like that, make sure you're checking it out. It's going to be released November 21st. There's a trailer out for it right now, but he's going to sit down and talk about it and give you some in-depth look as to why Barry Sanders retired. I mean, geez, think about Tecmo Bowl. Like, shout out to anybody that ever, if you play Tecmo Bowl and you're in a car right now, Tyler Farrengold, you ever played Tecmo Bowl?
I have not, but my dad and my uncles tell me all about it.
So you know what Tecmo Bowl is, though?
Yes.
Okay. Tecmo Bowl, like, Barry Sanders, like, okay, shout out to all my people that know what Tecmo Bowl is and what I'm saying and what language I'm speaking right now. But, like, if you called the other player's call or play correctly, it was basically like a dead play, right? Like, everyone just comes and tackles you. That is, unless you have, like, Barry Sanders or Bo Jackson. And then you could do, like, some swirly move with them that would allow you to, like, get through. Even though you called the play correctly, it would allow you to get through anything. Barry Sanders, just amazing. Can't wait to hear about why he retired, just because I'm genuinely curious. All right.
Number one.
Last one inside the trifecta here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. And the Cubs is my last story. And they have been dominating my brain as well, because not only because I'm leading into them. First pitch, 8:40, pregame, 8:05, with Mike Esposito. But also because this is the start of a really big three-game set for the Cubs. Against the Arizona Diamondbacks, we know what the Diamondbacks did to the Cubs in the last time they were here, which was not too long ago. So the Cubs trying to turn things around. Justin Steele, the man to get it done to lead off the three-game series, he's going to be going up against Brandon Fatt, and that's going to be it's going to be an interesting one. As we saw, like, guys like Carroll and Marte were just really killing the Cubs last time around. Pham was just doing what he was doing. So it's going to be interesting to see. Tauchman's making his way back to the top of the order. Something that I've been talking about for the last couple
of games. I know you were happy
games.
About that.
I just think it solidifies the lineup, Tyler. I think he adds a calmness to the top of the order. Christopher Morel, it's hit or miss. I mean, when he hits, it's great, right? It's more than likely a home run. But with Tauchman, you know you're going to see pitches. You could get a walk. You get a single. Could hit a homer. You're just not necessarily sure. So I'm glad that he's in the lineup. And we'll go over that one as well. Ron Coomer, who I referenced earlier when I was doing crosstalk with Parkinson Spiegel, he talked about the Cubs and how they're playing different and what is contributing to that.
When there's multiple guys trying to take extra bases and do things that, you know, you have a decision to make on the bases. Do I try to make the next 90 feet or not? You know, they're grinding a little bit on this playoff thing, and it's affecting some of the decision making on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense, right? Beginning of the season, middle of the season, you're playing with house's money. You're feeling good. No one expected you to be here, and no team is, you know, you don't have a target on your back. No team is looking at you as such, and that's why you were able to surprise a bunch of teams and beat them. But then once you start to say to yourself, like, oh, damn, we're actually in the playoffs. Oh, man, this game matters now. The other team knows it. You know it. And it's just those small things that add that little bit of pressure. Doesn't affect it much, but just enough where you're just thinking about it. That is enough to affect play. And Ron Coomer talked about that as well. And we'll play some more Ron in just a second. I want to pick his, or want you guys to hear him talk about the Cubs in the present.
That's a magic number.
There is your trifecta, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on 670 The Score. I am Gabe Ramirez, as mentioned. And coming up in just a second, Hub Arcus is going to be hanging out with us. But I did want to continue the Cubs conversation, specifically, you know, the stuff that Ron Coomer was talking about this morning with David Hall and Marshall Harris, my guy. Check him out. I think today he works CBS too. But he, I liked the things that he said, because Coombs, first of all, I love Coombs. Like, if you're not listening to Cubs baseball on 670 The Score, he's a fun person. obviously extremely knowledgeable, you know, played in the bigs for a ton, but he's just a nice guy. Like, Coombe is nice, and but he also keeps it real, and that's what I love about him. And you heard him mention, you know, right there that the pressure, you know, could be the pressure of making the playoffs is impacting the Cubs. You love the fact that he even said that, right? Because it's real. But listen to what else he said. And this is what, like I mentioned, I was talking about earlier with Parkins and Spiegel, and it's Ron Coomer talking about Stroman's role when he returns.
I don't know if he's going to be able to throw any rehab-type games just because of the time of the year. I would think you're probably looking at a guy going to the bullpen for the first 3 or 4 days that he comes back, and then probably get an outing or two and then see what you have with him. You just don't know what you have. He hasn't pitched in over a month. So, but you hope he's healthy. If he's healthy, boy, he can really help the ball club.
Most certainly. I think people were staring at Jameson Taillon. People are looking at, you know, they're already envisioning a playoff rotation. And who would have thought that, you know, after the beginning of the year that he had, that anyone would consider a rotation without Marcus Stroman? Like, it's hard to envision. But here we are. Coombe brings up some great points. Hey, give him an opportunity to, you know, get an inning here and there, throw your sessions outside of the games, and then see what you got. And hopefully he can get in there and give you a start later in the month. Like, imagine a scenario where Marcus Stroman is pitching in those last three games against Milwaukee. And you need those. And not even just to take the division, because obviously the Cubs are a handful of games back, but to, like, solidify your spot in the wild card. And Marcus Stroman gets to give you that. That's the type of momentum teams need. When they're talking about teams playing well and hitting their stride at the right moment, getting a Marcus Stroman back to reignite the roster, that's something that the Cubs need right now.
Do you think Stroman thrives off of those pressure situations too?
I think he's the type of pitcher that enjoys it. He's not one to shy away from it. But I don't know. I would love to see him in a high leverage, high pressured situation. Because again, he reaped the benefits of the Cubs having low expectations also. You get to come out here, nobody thought anything of it. So when you outperform your team, or the expectations of your team, that's when people are just thinking so highly of you. So maybe, you know, sometimes how often do we, I'm thinking of Kyle Korver. Damn, dollar in the bucket, talking about the Bulls. I always used to see Kyle Korver make 80% of his shots when the Bulls were up 10. When the Bulls were down 3 or 5, down 5 or up 5, or the game was tight like that, percentage went down back to reality, right? And I think, again, it's just easier to play when you're, you know, there's not a lot of pressure on you. But I think Stroman's going to be just fine. I think he'll welcome it. I think he'll put him on the mound. I think if you asked him right now, let's say if today was game one of the playoffs, to answer your question, Todd. If game one of the playoffs was today, Marcus, despite the fact that Marcus Stroman hasn't pitched in a month or two, he most certainly, if Rossi asked him, hey, you want to pitch game one? Absolutely. I don't want it to be Justin Steele. It should be me. I just know that's the type of confidence and the type of gamer that he is. And so, again, having him back is going to be awesome. But as I mentioned, Justin Steele should be game one starter, no doubt about that. And Ron Coomer talked about Justin Steele and the hardware that he believes he should receive at the end of the season.
I think he's got a great shot. When you look at the guys he's competing against, he's leading in wins and he's leading in ERA. I don't know what else you'd expect him to do. The other guys have topped him out in strikeouts by quite a bit. He's not a big strikeout guy, but I just look at it and go, you know, for years and years, and maybe to David's point, I'm too old school, but, you know, when a guy's got 16 wins and he's got a chance for 18 wins and he's got quite a few more wins than the other guy, his ERA is lower. I've seen Steele all year. Boy, he's been something. And he's been consistently doing that. He gets the nod to me by quite a bit, actually.
No bias there at all from Coombe also in that moment. But we get a chance to see him do it again. And I likened it to Dylan Cease's performance last year, where each outing you were under the assumption that it was going to be the last one. Like, he was going to have like a crap game, or he was going to regress back to, you know, the mean. And then he never did. He just kept having lights out performances. And I think that's what we're experiencing with Justin Steele right now, where you're kind of like, oh, okay, this is cute. And then it was like, wait, this keeps happening. Wait, every time he gets the ball, it's like a victory for the Cubs. And I think today's going to be very important because it is like a playoff game. Can say whatever you want, but this game is important, as they will be all weekend long. But Justin Steele starting off the weekend, it's got to feel good for the Cubs, and especially hearing that Marcus Stroman is back. Now, Azale, he is on the injured list right now, and Coon talked about the impact of that injury on the playoff race.
To go into the playoffs without a closer, you just don't hear of it. So you're hoping that this two-week period for Azalai to just rest his arm and try to get that inflammation or whatever, the soreness out of his right arm and get him healthy and back on the mound to be a closer, vital for the Cubs. I mean, they might be able to survive if the offense comes alive in the first series, but to get through the playoffs and not have an established closer, and just you never see it. So you've got to get him back if possible, and you hope that he's okay and he's able to come back.
Of course, he'll be a welcome sight for the Cubs. Having somebody to lock down the back end is something that every team dreams of, and what was a hodgepodge of closers throughout the season ultimately was given to Adbert, and deservingly so. He fit the mold, and then it seemed as though everything was working fine, and then all of a sudden, Candelario goes down, Azulay goes down. Cubs have been doing a good job staying above water. I will give them credit for that, and it's been really impressive to watch all season long. So I do hope that they're able to have a complete team heading into the playoffs. Stroman, Azulay, just so we can see. I don't want to go into the off season and be like, man, what would have happened had these people been X, Y, and Z? No. Let's see the Cubs play against the best teams in the National League with their complete team. That would be interesting. And it might include Pete Armstrong. Would you consider it a failed experiment the first two games where you just threw him in the lineup?
Somewhat.
Okay. Great defense. Unfortunately, you know, no hits. Coom talked about Pete Armstrong's and just what his thoughts are on him over the first couple of days that he saw him.
Is you saw a really good defender in the lineup. So if you take away all of the ballyhoo that you have said, and you just say, we're adding another player on our club, and he's a great defender, at this time of the year, that's always a good thing. And he is a very good defender. He had one misplay in the outfield where he didn't see the ball in the sun. That can happen to anybody in Colorado. So that is what it is. But boy, he's gone and got some balls in right center and left center that I don't know. Belly may make that catch, and that's about it. And there's only maybe a handful of guys in the National League that make that catch.
It's high praise from Ron Coomer. Of course, the defense is there. The speed is there. People know that. It's unfortunate he got caught stealing twice. But the speed is there. The defense is there. And if you can, you know, confidently move Belly to first in the middle of a game, knowing that, you know, the guy who's playing center field is going to give you, you know, the same kind of defense. Like, that's pretty solid now. Now your first base is taken care of. You're not, you know, you don't have a carousel over there. Cubs are in a good position. It's going to be interesting to see. I can't wait to catch them tonight. Again, first pitch, 8:40 p.m. right here on 670 The Score. Pre-game begins at 8:05, so I'm going to lead you right up into that. And next, we get to talk to Hub Arkish. Of course, he's going to tell us about the Bears, and I wonder if he's worried. Worried that the Bears will start 0-2. We'll talk to Hub Arkish, ask him that, and pick his brain on Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after this. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you take one game at a time, right? That's all you can do, and really one play at a time. So we're looking for execution. You know, we're looking for, you know, guys, alignment, assignment, key technique, doing the basics and one play at a time. And that's offense, defense, and kicking. And that's what we're looking for. And being really good at situational football, you know, because that's what wins football games. So that's what we're looking for. That's what we practiced this week. And we're excited about going down and focusing on Tampa Bay and getting that done.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Matt Eberflus right there talking about how the Bears are going to bounce back after their loss. How will they respond? I think we're all going to be paying attention to that just to see how the team responds. Most importantly, how the team's going to respond to Matt Eberflus himself. I think a lot of people are concerned about that. Maybe I'm just making those people up. They don't actually exist. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we do get to discuss the Bears for the next couple of minutes with my next guest joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's the executive editor at Pro Football Weekly, sideline reporter for Westwood One. Just all around good guy and our friend here at 670 The Score. It's Hub Arkish. Hub, good evening. Happy Friday.
Hey, Gabe. Happy Friday to you. I hope everything's going well.
Yeah, so far so good. I, like the rest of the Bears, I have the Green Bay loss is behind me, Hub. I think that I'm trying to take my cues from them, but it still stings a little bit. For you, I mean, obviously this is our first time to chat since the Bears game. Like, what was it for you that stung the most? I mean, there was a lot, but what was it that stung the most for you after Sunday's game?
You know, Gabe, I think the most important thing, I feel like I do the same show at the beginning of every year. You can't take the first year too seriously. We're not really going to be able to form meaningful conclusions about who these guys are and what kind of team this is until at least week three or week four, and probably even a couple of weeks after that. So you got to be careful. It wasn't as bad as it looked. In some respects, it was worse than it looked. And so, you know, in evaluating this one game, what can you say? I wasn't totally shocked. I've talked about this. I think we talked about it a couple times during the whole, you know, off season. Well, yeah, during the whole off season, but especially during training camp, why they took training camp off. You know, there was no contact at any point during training camp. There wasn't pads half the time. I didn't really understand. Now, it's a trend around the league. You know, I saw one report that said of the 32 teams, only six had a traditional training camp where they actually ran drills, you know, and had contact, and that the other, 26 teams were more concerned about apparently keeping guys healthy and not doing too much. I don't know how to explain it. There's various trends around the league every year, and that's one of them. But the Bears weren't ready to play Sunday. I think that was pretty obvious, and I think a lot of it is just because they didn't get ready during training camp, and I look for a much better performance Sunday, in Tampa.
It's funny you say that, Hub. So I was doing the post game with Corey Wooten on Fox, and as the game's going on, and he's equally a fanatic of the Bears as I am, but he kept saying during while we were watching, he's like, these guys are not ready. He's like, I am tired of these players not having training camps. He's like, this is the result of it. So he was literally mirroring exactly what you're saying, because it was tough to watch. It was a tough game to watch, especially because the offense didn't live up to the expectation in game one. I know a lot of people are more concerned about the Green Bay loss and everything else, but I think for me specifically, it was just, I was excited to see a new offense, and it seemed to be just more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair comment. But I would also be a little careful with Flus. He gets the same, chance that everybody else gets, and don't make too much of the first week. There were a couple of things that I thought were curious, that bothered me. But I'm not about to make a judgment of him as the head coach off, one bad performance. Now, it is his decision, and it was his responsibility, if I'm right about them taking training camp off or not doing enough during camp. We talked about it with him a little bit on Monday and Tuesday, and he acknowledged that it looked like, well, I shouldn't say, I got to be careful what I say here. I took from his comments that he was acknowledging that they weren't fully ready Sunday, and I think he was taking responsibility for that, but I'm not sure that he would agree at this point that they handled training camp poorly. You know, we'll see about that next summer. But, at the end of the day, he did something early that I did have an issue with. It's the only thing that I would put completely on him. I don't understand why he's going for it on 4th-and-1, 3 minutes into the game at his own 40-yard line. And, I think that it was one of two possibilities. Either he was focused on and willing to take the chance in order to give Justin Fields some confidence to get that first down and try and make a lot out of that first possession. Or it could be that he knew his offensive line wasn't ready, and he thought that if he could give them a chance to go get that first down, which is what he tried to do, that that might have a big help to the offense too. But either way, it was a bad decision. They end up giving the 49ers the ball on the Bears 40. They score a touchdown, and the game's over. I mean, it didn't end right there. They didn't really put it away until the second half. But I just thought it put his team in a terrible position when he didn't have to do it. Because, you know, there were also concerns about the defense, and especially the run defense. And so punt the ball and make the Packers go the whole football field and then get the ball back and then give Fields another chance. So I thought that was a really bad decision. Beyond that, you know, there were some things that people haven't talked about. I think there's a very good chance that Tyrique Stevenson is going to be a star. I like what I've seen of him so far. It really kind of surprised me when I was doing some homework Monday and Tuesday to find out that T.J. Edwards was fourth in the league, was 14 tackles. I mean, I knew he made a lot of plays, but I didn't realize the numbers were that impressive. I think that they also, you know, clearly signed the right guy in DeMarcus and Tremaine Edmonds, you know, and with DeMarcus Walker. I think they're going to be fine there. You know, offensively, I wasn't as encouraged only because I didn't see any guys to be impressed by. You know, I think for a first game, you know, you have to like what you got out of Roshan Johnson. But beyond that, you know, I was more disappointed in the offense than I was in the defense, even though they gave up 38 points. You know, I think there was things there that will obviously get fixed. And some of it is just the young guys get to play some more football.
You bring up some great points. I mean, the fourth and one, just that first series as a whole, you totally can see Eberflus wanting to just instill confidence in his quarterback and his offensive line as to why he did it. Backfired tremendously, but you could see that would be the reason. And then you're right. I mean, it would have been obviously hindsight 2020, giving Jordan Love a long field to play with on his first drive of the new season, allowing your defense to kind of settle in that moment. But you brought up Tyrique Stevenson, and I'm glad you did. Because I got to be honest, Hub, in the preseason, I was like, this guy is going to cost the – I mean, maybe I was having flashbacks of, like, Javon Wims and guys making stupid plays, you know, penalties, 15-yard penalties. But it seems as though he's a guy that does love football and wants to be great at the cornerback position.
Well, that, and also, Gabe, I would add, the really great ones, and I'm not saying he's going to be a great one. Who knows? You know, we got to give it a chance. But the really great ones not only make a lot of great plays, but they also will make mistakes because they're trying to make great plays. You know, and I think that Stevenson came to the Bears NFL ready. I think that, you know, some of the, I guess you can call them mistakes that we saw, you know, during training camp were a result of that. But we also saw him doing some really good things. And, you know, especially in the first half, but throughout the game, I thought he was their best defensive player Sunday, you know, and that's a pretty good thing for a rookie in his first game.
Yeah. And Tremaine Edmonds did look good. He'd be, you know, a couple tackles for a loss, just was a big body out there, was a presence. So it was good to see him out there as well. Because staying on the defensive side of the ball, Hub, Kyler Gordon had the surgery, going to be out for a while. You saw Blackwell might be playing on Sunday or not. People talk often about how important that, you know, that nickel guy is. Can you just, you know, talk about, you know, losing Kyler Gordon, what that means for the Bears, and especially with the depth that's behind him?
Well, you know, you hate to lose an important player ever, especially in the first game of the season. But this is where, you know, again, I think you have to feel a little better at how Stevenson looks right now. And I thought that the secondary was arguably the strongest group on the team, you know, going into the season. So I think there is some depth there. I'm not belittling the loss. You know, you hate to see it happen. But, the bottom line is I don't think that's going to be a reason for the team, you know, not being able to improve as much as everybody hopes that they will this year.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, he's certainly a guy that can be that. It sucks to lose him in the first game of the season. You just wanted to see the defense kind of gel and be able to play, but they're going to be needed this weekend, Sunday, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You see Baker Mayfield with some weapons, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and you know he's not afraid to throw the ball. Do you see this being a game where, you know, Tampa's putting up a ton of points, or do you see the defense kind of, you know, taming what they've done so far?
Well, I don't know, because the Bucks were one of the two biggest surprises of week one to me. Them along with, well, I guess three biggest surprises, both, you know, Seattle not showing up and the Rams playing the way they did. But at the end of the day, I didn't think they had much of a chance, against the Vikings, and they owned that game. And Baker Mayfield isn't a bad quarterback, but, you know, he's not the guy you're going to pick to build your team around. And he had a very good week one, and there's reason to assume after what Jordan Love did to him, last week that he could do that against the Bears on Sunday. So it has to concern you a little bit. But at the end of the day, this matches up to me like a very similar game to last week. Last week it was the 8-9 Packers. This week it's the 8-9, now 1-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, And so the question is, how much did the Bears learn from what they did last Sunday? With their work this week, with their mental approach, with their attitude, with their game plan, if they do the things that they are built or they hope are built to do well, they've got a real good chance at pulling the upset, Sunday. I'm not going to pick them off what I saw. Last week, but if I'm just matching up rosters, then I'd say they've got a real chance, and I'm looking forward to the game. And I think this is a huge test for Foose, because I don't think he should take too much of a beating for last week, but he obviously has to have made significant changes. And Luke Getsy, too, with the game plan. I couldn't believe – I think that they've got a real weapon in Khalil Herbert. We've talked about this before. He led the NFL in average yards per carry with running backs last year at 5.7. He only got 9 carries. Yeah, I don't understand that. It's a lot of decisions that were made that they've now got a chance to study and react, and hopefully they're going to react a lot better this Sunday.
Yeah, and hopefully they could lean on what they do well, right? I mean, as you mentioned, Khalil Herbert, 9 rushes. I mean, even Dante Foreman, his first couple of carries were outside of the tackles, and I was like, wait, this is a powerhouse running back. Let's get him, to inflict some pain on the opposing team. So, and then Justin Fields' lack of designed runs. So I want them to do that, but I have a feeling, Hub, that because of the amount of targets that, DJ Moore had, Chase Claypool, even though Justin Fields threw the ball over 30 times, something he didn't do all of last year, I think they're going to try to throw the ball again this week against the Tampa Bay defense because I think they're going to be coming at them hard. What do you think they're going to lean on? Do you think it is going to be that running game? I mean, you mentioned Eberflus, having the ability to watch film and readjust. Or do you think they're going to try to, make their wide receivers happy and throw the ball?
Well, Fields throwing the ball 30 times was obviously a terrible idea, and hopefully they won't do it again. Clearly, Flus is a defensive run-the-ball coach. He's got the running backs to do it. I think you got to be careful with the offensive line, too, because if you look, one of your starters is going to be on IR for 3 more weeks, and then you had another one on the bench. And these guys, Nate Davis, I just don't know what to say at this point because we've learned so little. You spend the offseason getting Cody Whitehair back at center, and now he's playing guard again. You get your first-round draft choice hurt 10 days before the season starts, and he doesn't practice. So, people I thought were way too hard on the offensive line. Again, not for the way they performed last week, but in the way they were evaluating him and saying, oh, we got a problem again. We don't know yet. You give it a couple weeks. Get them healthy, get your 5 starters on the line, and then we'll see. But I think that you have to stay with the offense you're trying to run, and that offense is still going to be a run-first offense. The best way to develop Justin Fields is to have a really successful running game that doesn't, rely on him doing all the running. So I can't wait to see what the game plan looks like Sunday. I have to believe it's going to be very different than it was last week, and we'll see if they can commit to doing what they think that's the problem. They didn't do what they think they can do well last Sunday. They got away from it early. Again, I think part of it was because of what happened on that first possession, and then it went south from there. And hopefully this Sunday they're going to be a lot more focused on doing, what they built the team, what they built the roster to do. And that's run the football and play defense and stop the defense on the run. And they should be able to do that because, the Bucks were the worst running team in the league last year. And so hopefully they're going to force Baker Mayfield to beat them. And I'm not sure he can do that 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, hoping for some turnovers from the secondary. Hopefully Tyreek Stevenson interception will be on the menu for Sunday. Hub, appreciate it. Love talking to you as always. Have a great weekend, okay?
Hey, right, we have another call coming in.
That was Hub Arkish hanging out with us here on 670 The Score. Let's see. Make sure you guys follow him. Great follow. You know he's going to be tweeting all weekend about the Bears, so it's going to be some great stuff. We're going to continue some Bears conversations. Let's open up the phone lines. Tyler, we got Tyler Farengal producing the show today. Phone lines are open, and, you know, Hub talked a lot about this defense. Hub talked a lot about, you know, what the offensive game plan should be. But I asked him a very important question. Does he see the Bears operating a run-first offense against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which seems like the right answer? But you can't have DJ Moore getting two targets, Chase Claypool not getting anything, and not feel as though you have to feed the beast and then throw again. Which would you prefer, Bears fans? That they stick to the run game, let Justin Fields do his thing, and Khalil Herbert get busy? Or do you want to see Justin Fields continue to grow, give him opportunities to throw the ball down the field, get those mid-range throws in there? Which of the two do you prefer when it comes to Sunday's game? 312-644-6767. I'll take your calls and play some more audio from Matt Eberflus on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
A lot of things go into that, but we were ahead of it. We talked to him about it in training camp, and we talked to him about it right after the game on Monday, you know, about doing the steps they need to do to step up with their hydration and all those types of things. And the performance staff did an outstanding job with that. And again, we'll see where it is. You know, the guys, if they did it right, we should be all set, ready to go. And, you know, so the guys in the building, we use their whole building to really educate the guys on that.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Matt Eberflus talking about playing in Tampa weather. It was hot down there. People complain all the time about Chicago winters, right? Like, oh, it's so cold. Bro, it's so hot. What are you talking about? Like, I got family that lives in Miami, and first thing they do when they come to Chicago, eat tacos. People don't understand. We have really good tacos here in Chicago. But they always complain about the weather, and I try to tell them, I'm like, dude, when I go down to Miami, like, you can't breathe in August. Literally, you can't even breathe. So you have July, June, July, August, just scorching weather where no one's outside. Everyone's inside. You think people are in the summer? That's why Chicago's so beautiful, because everyone's outside in the summer. Summer in Miami is too damn hot. You can't breathe in Tampa Bay. No one's outside. Everybody's in their ACs. Why am I getting so upset about the weather? I don't know. But the Bears most certainly are going to be playing in Tampa this weekend. Going to be taking some calls, playing some more Eberflus audio in just a little bit. Don't forget, Eberflus is going to be calling the plays, the defensive plays, on Sunday, because Alan Williams is not going to travel with the team. So I'll let you know who's going to help him call the plays on defense. Do that in just a second. But let's go out to the phone lines. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Tony from Arlington Heights. So, Tony, not a Justin Fields fan, huh?
Man, I'm a big supporter, but last game was so disappointing that I'm ready to just give up and get ready for the draft with our pick and then Carolina's pick. I'm just disappointed.
So who let's say if the draft were today and you did have the number one pick, who would you take?
Caleb Williams.
No questions.
I would start over and you have 5 years, 4 years or whatever of having them on contract, and Justin Fields, you have him for one more year and then you gotta renew him. You gotta think of the upside in the next 5 years. Like, who's gonna be a better quarterback in the long run?
I get it. Caleb Williams, man, I got to be honest, this take isn't going to age well, but I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as good as people are making him out to be. It's just
really?
I know. And I've been watching him. And I watch a lot of college football, specifically of Caleb Williams, because you want to know why? Late night games are my thing. So, you know, 9, 10 o'clock on Saturday, that's what I'm watching. Caleb Williams had a ton of those last year. I look at him and I had this conversation with my brother, Tony. And it was basically, I said that his game doesn't translate, wouldn't translate to the NFL. And he's like, what do you mean? He makes the long throws. He can run. He can do all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but he does it on the college level. And, you know, being elusive and that, like, I don't know. I just think NFL players are going to get after him. And I don't think it's going to be as sweet as everybody thinks it's going to be. I am a big Drake May fan. I think Drake May is that dude. I think that he'll have a better career than Caleb Williams. But how often are analysts wrong in these things, right? So I could be wrong, but that's just my take. Like I said, it might not age well. And, you know, there are other guys, too, that are going to be good. Like Michael Penix Jr. from Washington is going to be good. So there are some quarterbacks that are out there. People are high on Quinn Ewers right now from Texas. Young guy. It's a lot of people are high on a lot of quarterbacks that are coming out this year. But Caleb Williams most certainly on the top of the list. But as a Bears fan, I got to be honest, I don't want it. I don't want Caleb Williams. Why? Because I want Justin Fields to be good. And I understand now that it's more of a wishing and hoping than it is of just fact. I am constantly hoping to watch a game from Justin Fields. And I'm going to say this before we get to our next guest, and it's only because I get to go to commercial break. Right? If you have not watched any Arizona Cardinals highlights this year, okay, follow me. I was doing research, watching the Washington versus Cardinals game, and Josh Dobbs is their quarterback. Bro, go watch some highlights and know that that is what Justin Fields could be. And I'm not saying it in a positive way. Just go look at Joshua Dobbs, because it might be shocking. You might say to yourself, oh, damn, is this Justin Fields? And my expectations are too high on the quarterback, but this is who he actually is. Go watch Josh Dobbs clips in your car while you're listening to me right now. And then you might feel that way. But I hope not. I hope he performs well, especially on Sunday versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We all want a bounce back game because we want to be happy on Monday. And fortunately, we get to get a little bit more inside information on the Buccaneers. Jenna Lane, she covers the Buccaneers on ESPN. She's going to be hanging out with us next and letting us know what do these fans think about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team and Baker Mayfield? Do they have high hopes now that they've beat the Minnesota Vikings? We'll ask Jenna Lane right after this. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Friday, live and local for you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A lot of things go into that, but we were ahead of it. We talked to him about it in training camp. Then we talked to him about it right after the game on Monday, you know, about doing the steps they need to do to step up with their hydration and all those types of things. And the performance staff did an outstanding job with that. And again, we'll see where it is. You know, the guys, if they did it right, we should be all set, ready to go. And, you know, so the guys in the building, we use their whole building to really educate the guys on that.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Matt Eberflus talking about playing in Tampa weather. It was hot down there. People complain all the time about Chicago winters, right? Like, oh, it's so cold. Bro, it's so hot. What are you talking about? Like, I got family that lives in Miami. And first thing they do when they come to Chicago, eat tacos. People don't understand. We have really good tacos here in Chicago. But they always complain about the weather. And I try to tell them, I'm like, dude, when I go down to Miami, like, you can't breathe in August. Literally, you can't even breathe. So you have June, July, August, just scorching weather where no one's outside. Everyone's inside. You think people are in the summer. That's why Chicago's so beautiful, because everyone's outside in the summer. Summer in Miami is too damn hot. You can't breathe in Tampa Bay. No one's outside. Everybody's in their ACs. Why am I getting so upset about the weather? I don't know. But the Bears... most certainly are going to be playing in Tampa this weekend. Going to be taking some calls, playing some more Eberflus audio in just a little bit. Don't forget, Eberflus is going to be calling the plays, the defensive plays, on Sunday, because Alan Williams is not going to travel with the team. So I'll let you know who's going to help him call the plays on defense. Do that in just a second. But let's go out to the phone lines. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Tony from Arlington Heights. So Tony, not a Justin Fields fan, huh?
Man, I'm a big supporter, but last game was so disappointing that I'm ready to just give up and get ready for the draft with our pick and then Carolina's pick. I'm just disappointed.
So who let's say if the draft were today and you did have the number one pick, who would you take?
Caleb Williams.
No questions.
I would start over, and you have 5 years, 4 years or whatever of having them on contract, and Justin Fields, you have him for one more year, and then you got to renew him. You got to think of the upside in the next 5 years. Like, who's going to be a better quarterback in the long run?
I get it. Caleb Williams, man, I got to be honest. This take isn't going to age well. But I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as good as people are making him out to be. It's just
really? My,
I know. And I've been watching him. And I watch a lot of college football, specifically of Caleb Williams. Because you want to know why? Late night games are my thing. So, you know, 9, 10 o'clock on Saturday, that's what I'm watching. Caleb Williams had a ton of those last year. I look at him and I had this conversation with my brother, Tony. And it was basically, I said that his game doesn't translate, wouldn't translate to the NFL. And he's like, what do you mean? He makes the long throws. He can run. He can do all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but he does it on the college level. And, you know, being elusive and that, like, I don't know. I just think NFL players are going to get after him. And I don't think it's going to be as sweet as everybody thinks it's going to be. I am a big Drake May fan. I think Drake May is that dude. I think that he'll have a better career than Caleb Williams. But how often are analysts wrong in these things, right? So I could be wrong, but that's just my take. Like I said, it might not age well. And, you know, there are other guys, too, that are going to be good. Like Michael Penix Jr. from Washington is going to be good. So there are some quarterbacks that are out there. People are high on Quinn Ewers right now from Texas. Young guy. It's a lot of people are high on a lot of quarterbacks that are coming out this year. But Caleb Williams most certainly on the top of the list. But as a Bears fan, I got to be honest, I don't want it. I don't want Caleb Williams. Why? Because I want Justin Fields to be good. And I understand now that it's more of a wishing and hoping than it is of just fact. I am constantly hoping to watch a game from Justin Fields. And I'm going to say this before we get to our next guest, and it's only because I get to go to commercial break. Right? If you have not watched any Arizona Cardinals highlights this year, okay, follow me. I was doing research, watching the Washington versus Cardinals game, and Josh Dobbs is their quarterback, bro. Go watch some highlights and know that that is what Justin Fields could be. And I'm not saying it in a positive way. Just go look at Joshua Dobbs because it might be shocking. You might say to yourself, oh, damn, is this Justin Fields? And my expectations are too high on the quarterback, but this is who he actually is. Go watch Josh Dobbs clips in your car while you're listening to me right now. And then you might feel that way. But I hope not. I hope he performs well, especially on Sunday versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We all want a bounce back game because we want to be happy on Monday. And fortunately, we get to get a little bit more inside information on the Buccaneers. Jenna Lane, she covers the Buccaneers on ESPN. She's going to be hanging out with us next and letting us know if what is the, despite the weather, what do these fans think about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team and Baker Mayfield? Do they have high hopes now that they've beat the Minnesota Vikings? We'll ask Jenna Lane right after this. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Friday, live and local for you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.